I encourage people to ask for what we call a family-centered cesarean. So one part of that that's become standard practice is to have a support person with you, whether it's a partner, doula, mom, friend. And another part of that is to not be tied down so that you can touch your
Okay.
baby. Because
And is
what
that
happens
something
is,
you can ask like in your OBGYN appointments
yes.
leading up to that? Okay.
If you know you're going to have a cesarean, then yes, you can totally talk through these procedures and
Awesome.
say,
Okay.
I want my hands free. Another thing that you can ask for is a potential like clear drape.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the Learning to Mom podcast. If you're new here, then my name is Layla and I inform first-time moms all about pregnancy and birth without overwhelming them. Today's episode, I sit down with Samantha Griffin, the founder and owner of DC Metro Maternity. Samantha and her amazing team specializes in supporting women of color in DC, Maryland, and Virginia as they experience childbirth and the postpartum period. But today's episode is going to cover all things C-section, expectations, and recovery. We ask questions like, what does a standard C-section procedure look like? What are some do's and don'ts when it comes to preparing for a C-section? What are tips to have a better slash faster recovery from a C-section? And what are red flags to look for while recovering from a C-section? This episode will be so beneficial for you, my mom friends. So let's get into it. Hi, Samantha. Welcome to the Learning to Mom podcast.
Hi, Layla. It's great to be here.
I'm so glad that you're here. C-section expectations and recovery is just something that, I mean, you and I have chatted a lot about of there's not a whole lot of information out there for it being so prevalent in our society. There's not a whole lot of information out there for the women that are about to have a C-section or have just had one. So I'm really glad that you're here to chat all about it.
I'm so glad that you brought this topic to me. I think that, especially being a doula, a lot of people assume that we're really focused on what they call like natural birth, so unmedicated vaginal birth, and preparing for a C-section or even recovering from one can seem like it's at the opposite end of the spectrum, but it's all birth. And no matter how you get a baby out of your body, it's a whole feat, very impressive. And I want people to be able to prepare for that.
Perfect. Well, I know we have a lot to chat about today, but before we do that, would love for you to just share a little bit about yourself and then what made you start DC Metro Maternity.
So I've been a doula for 10 years now. That still sounds strange, but it's been true since March. I came to doula work prior to having kids of my own. I still don't have children at this point. And so my path is a little bit different than some doulas. I had worked with girls in the foster care system, and maybe the stat is different now, but at that time, which was like, this was around 2010 or so, girls in DC, like a third of them were leaving the foster care system, either pregnant or parenting, which is pretty intense when we think
Wow.
about like, yeah, like not just young motherhood and parenthood, but the idea of being, you know, disconnected maybe from your own family of origin. And then here's a baby. What do we
Wow.
do? And so I found that a lot of those girls had not necessarily gotten the best sexual health education beforehand, were really not feeling at all prepared for birth. And their stories just sounded lonely. And I chalked that up at the time to, okay, we need to treat teen moms better in the US, right? But then my own friends started having kids and they also felt kind of lonely, kind of scared, really unprepared. And so I did some Googling and found out that midwives and doulas can be helpful. And yeah, I've been a doula since 2013. Once I made it my full-time job in 2016, I eventually got kind of busy. And anybody who's ever hired a doula knows, especially for birth, like the whole point of it is we build a relationship with our clients. They know us really well, so that they can feel safe. And also, we can provide some continuity that a lot of doctors can't. You know, we're talking about C-sections today. If you're scheduling a cesarean birth, then you can actually, in many cases, know who your provider is going to be that day. But a lot of people don't know, and it can be really intimidating to go in kind of blind. And I didn't like the idea of being really busy and sending a backup to my clients. I did it exactly once when I was very sick. I couldn't leave my bathroom, and I just didn't feel satisfied. So from there, I decided, okay, let's work in a team. Let's make sure that clients know two of us, and that way we can provide an extra layer of like support and safety, because that feeling of comfort and safety and like someone really knows you, it just makes birth better.
Yeah, I think that makes like a huge, huge difference of having someone there by your side who's able to advocate for you and who knows what exactly you want and your history and is just a familiar face to make it a more familiar setting.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think that we are supposed to do birth in a, especially not postpartum. You know, we'll talk about recovery after what's a pretty major surgery. You're not supposed to do that by yourself. And when I say by yourself, I'm even including partners, because even the most supportive partner just became a parent too.
Yeah.
And so whether that's a dad or, you know, the non-birthing mom, like they just had a whole emotional experience with you. It's just nice to have someone there who knows you and cares about you, but can see things a little bit more objectively and help you out.
Yeah, that is so true. Okay, then kind of ripping off the Band-Aid, curious if you could explain just like what the standard C-section procedure is, like things, you know, maybe, I don't know, I didn't have one, but I'm thinking like, can you eat the night before, or like things like, can you know, the clear drape, et cetera, et cetera. What's the standard C-section procedure?
Sure. So I'm going to talk folks through it as though you are actually getting to prepare for a C-section, because it is a little bit different if you go in and you're laboring. So if you're planning for a C-section, then they will tell you not to eat from the night before. That is one of those things that then creeps into how we end up preparing for vaginal birth in a hospital, because hospitals are always thinking, and we kind of want them to be thinking in some ways about worst case scenarios. And if you were to go under general anesthesia, they would not want you to have, you know, just had a cheeseburger and fries, because then that's something to account for. So most people, if they're planning for a cesarean birth, are going to be given a time that's in the morning. One thing that I kind of warn clients about is, because you're being scheduled, say we're doing this because maybe your baby is breech and no one at that hospital can attend a breech birth and is experienced with that. Since you're not an emergency, like your birth doesn't have to happen right now for safety reasons, if anything happens that is an emergency and they need that OR, then your time might change. So, you're not supposed to eat the night before. And if you get a little bit hangry, like drink some water, we'll meditate through it. That can be tough. But once you get there, then typically what happens is they will have the mama's giving birth go in first. And then if you have a partner, a friend, a doula, whoever, we're waiting for you still in the waiting room. At most of the hospitals here in the DMV, there's like either, sometimes they'll give you a labor and delivery room, but a lot of times they'll put you in a recovery room and you'll be prepping there. There's that gap where you don't see your friend or your support person for two reasons. First, they're preparing you. So sometimes they'll go ahead and do a medical history then, in case there's anything personal that maybe your partner or support person doesn't know. They also tend to ask some safety questions, because they want to make sure like everyone's being nice to you at home and there's no, you know, domestic violence situations. And then they'll do some medical things. So you'll probably have some blood drawn. It is very likely that if you kind of go au naturel, for your pubic grooming practices, they'll shave down that area, which people may not be expecting. Like,
yeah, surprises. I did not. That's so true. And I hadn't thought of that. And I mean, especially when you're 4 weeks pregnant, it's very hard to do some grooming down there.
Like, a lot of people can't even see that area
at
40 weeks pregnant. And truly, like, whatever you want to do with your body, you are entitled. But of course, they need access to that area. So you'll get just a little razor there. That's something to be aware of. You also will have a consult with anesthesia. Some people are really nervous about anesthesia. And so I tell them, if you want, and it's important to you, a lot of times you can actually have a meeting with the anesthesiologist beforehand. I've had clients who prepared in that way, but they want to make sure that they know your history, any allergies, if you've had any issues with anesthesia before. You're going to get fluids through your IV, and they're also going to give you antibiotics. They call it prophylactic, which just means that they're giving you antibiotics to prevent infection later, because of course, we're going in and opening up your body in a way that is different than vaginal birth. And so we want to make sure that, you know, no infection is getting in there. As all of that is done, and sometimes your partner can join you before all of that is finished, then you're like reunited. Once the OR is available and it's your time and you've got your fluids and your antibiotics, then if you're doing a planned cesarean, that's when you'll go in and actually get your anesthesia. The anesthesia for a cesarean numbs you, but typically you're not going to be put under general anesthesia. So you will be like present, awake, you'll get to meet your baby. They are going to give you a catheter. It's a catheter for urine, because the area that's numb is like from your nipples down, basically.
Whoa.
So you'll still, yeah, it's a lot. Even if people are getting an epidural, like those of you who, you know, had a vaginal birth and got an epidural, they say that it numbs from like nipples to knees. So you're going to be pretty numb, but you'll still be able to like talk, touch things. You should not feel any pain though. That is the goal. What people sometimes, a lot of times actually, still feel is like pressure as the baby is coming out, but you should not feel pain. And if you do, please tell somebody. And typically in a cesarean, an anesthesiologist is right by the person giving birth, right by your head. So you can very easily communicate with them.
Thank you, Scruffers 111, for the review on Apple Podcasts titled #MomFriends. I'm honored. She writes, I absolutely love listening to this. My husband and I are still trying, and I appreciate taking in all of the information from you and your guests. I always feel well-informed in a casual vibe, but never overwhelmed and stressed. So far, this is the only podcast I've been into enough to really listen every week. Save items you recommend and send episodes to my husband. Keep being amazing at this. It is so, so appreciated. Thank you so much for this review. I hope you and your husband are able to conceive soon. I know that's like a really exhausting place to be mentally. I'm so sorry, but I'm so freaking glad that you like the podcast. I created it literally for like exactly that. I just didn't vibe enough with the other podcasts out there for me to tune into each week. So I wanted that to be a resource for others that I wish I could have had. So thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for your kind words. Now I'm asking you to write a review wherever you're listening to this podcast on and tell me why you tune into the episodes each week. I'm a one-woman show, and your reviews help me keep me motivated, just encouraged, honestly. Plus, you might get featured on a future episode like Scruffers 111. Thank you so much once again.
Do they tie your hands down like they do if you were to go into, you know, like when I had my knee surgeries, my hands were tied, and obviously I was asleep.
Yeah. So yes and no. What I tell people to ask for when it comes to these things that can seem like really intense, and I've heard people use like the word barbaric I try to be non-judgmental about medical procedures just because there's typically a reason for them. So what they're trying to account for is someone like as a reflex swatting and getting right. their hand in the way of what the team is doing.
Right.
But of course, if you're awake, you're not going to do that. So it's a yes and no. The old school way is yes to restrain your hands. But I encourage people to ask for what we call a family-centered cesarean. So one part of that that's become standard practice is to have a support person with you, whether it's a partner, doula, mom, friend. And another part of that is to not be tied down so that you can touch your baby.
And is that something you can ask like in your OBGYN appointments leading up to that? Okay.
If you know you're going to have a cesarean, then yes, you can totally talk through these procedures.
Awesome.
And say, okay, I want my hands free. Another thing that you can ask for is a potential like clear drape. So the drape is placed right at, I keep talking about nipples, but it is like right at chest level. Because some people want to see things, some people don't. So if you want to see every bit of what's happening, then you can have the clear drape. Some people are like, Samantha, that sounds like a nightmare.
Yeah.
Fair. The standard drape is like blue, the same blue as on Grey's Anatomy. And
we can all relate to that. We know exactly what you're talking about.
We've seen it. And so if the clear drape feels like it's too much information for you, you can ask for that drape to be lowered when your baby is born. The drape is there so that you don't, the drape is there so you don't see everything. Like in a vaginal birth, even some people would prefer not to see their baby coming out. I think it's amazing, but I get it. And the same way that like not everybody wants to see surgery, where they do go through several layers of tissue in order to get to the baby.
I think it probably just, it just depends on each person. Like I'm not medical. The sight of blood grosses me out anyway. So like I would not do well if it was my own blood in my own surgery. Yeah, no.
Totally fair.
Whereas, you know, if you're a nurse or a surgeon yourself, you're probably fascinated and is like, oh, this isn't gross at all. This is so cool. I want to see all this. So totally depends. So I've got to talk to you about something super close to my heart. My little songbird. You know, finding newborn and toddler toys that are both beautiful and, you know, actually good for their development. I've hunted and hunted and it's so hard to find, which is why I love My Little Songbird. They just get it. Their stuff is Montessori inspired, which I love because it's all about encouraging kids to explore and learn at their own pace. And the quality, we're talking top-notch, beautiful materials. Wooden toys that feel as good as they look, climbing gyms that are as sturdy as they are fun, and silicone toys that are perfect for teething babies. All without sacrificing an ounce of style. And because you're listening to the Learning to Mom podcast, My Little Songbird gave me a special code to share with you. Use Learning to Mom 15, obviously that's the numbers at the end, 15, when you check out for 15% off. Seriously, they hardly ever do discounts, so this is pretty sweet. That's also not an affiliate link, but it does help track that you heard of them through me, and you get a good discount when they don't hand those out normally. Honestly, their stuff is like the thing that you didn't know that you needed until you see it, and then it's like, how did we ever do without this? Whether it's those adorable teething rings or the play gyms that are so good looking, they actually add to your room's decor, not detract from it. Anyway, back to our chat, but really go check them out. You will not regret it. MyLittleSongbird.com and use LearningToMom15 at checkout. But okay, so that's really, really helpful. And then what happens, I guess, post procedure?
Yes. So post procedure, so they've done everything and you're still in the OR. By this time, like you'll have heard your baby cry. It's amazing. It's very much like Lion King where they're like lifting the baby up over the drape. If you have a partner or support person in the room, which that's pretty standard. The only exception to that is if it's a true emergency. So say you were planning for a vaginal birth and all of a sudden, like there's a risk that's severe, like a risk of life for mom and baby, and they just need to do things very quickly, then sometimes you won't have a partner in the room because they're just trying to keep things sterile and move fast. But once the baby's born, you can immediately, in a lot of cases, have your partner take a picture of the baby. Now, in the OR, it's much colder, in my experience, than labor and delivery rooms. And so they're trying to keep the baby warm. So you can expect your little one to be swaddled. And I mention that because a lot of people will put in their birth plans, like, oh, we want skin to skin immediately after. You can get skin to skin in some ORs, and this is why I encourage people to have these conversations. Even if you are planning for a vaginal birth, I think it's valuable to have the conversation once with your OB. So that way, you know what the procedures are, and then you can put it away. You don't have to think about it again, but you've addressed it. But you can expect your partner to be able to take pictures in a lot of places. You can go over to the warmer where the baby is. If they're not doing skin to skin,
your in partner, some, right? Like you're not, partner can, you're on the bed.
No.
You're on the bed with who just had severe surgery.
Yeah. So you're still like being sewn back up, basically, the person who just gave birth. Mom, you're stationary, but the partner can go over to the warmer and see the baby there, take pictures. And then sometimes they will be able to bring the baby over, and usually the baby will be swaddled. But you can do like cheek to cheek, that kind of skin to skin. In some cases, just depending on how you are and what the hospital procedures are, you can actually hold the baby and someone else will support the baby's weight. And so afterwards.
So good to know.
So you can be in touch with your baby. You can be in contact in many cases and you can get pictures. And then afterwards, you know, they're going to stitch you back up and make sure that you are safe and taken care of, because that's also a priority. And in the room will be a peds team to make sure that the baby's doing well. And then you'll typically go to a recovery room of some sort. So some people go back to their labor and delivery room. Some people go to a special recovery room.
And
so they're making sure that like you're recovering well from surgery and that the baby is adjusting well.
Okay. Yeah. And it just depends on how your hospital is set up.
But you are one of two places
on the bed and they roll you. They're not transferring you to a wheelchair or anything. They roll you and then you're on that bed in the recovery room.
Exactly. Sometimes they'll change beds, but like you're still in bed. And you're going to be in bed for a few hours after a cesarean. You also won't be able to eat immediately. This is, you know, so some people are just very hungry. Because, you know, you haven't eaten since the night before.
You fasted the night before.
Yeah. But the reason for this is, like, this is a true safety precaution at this point, because they want to make sure that you're adjusting well. So first they'll have you try some fluids and then you might move to like slightly thicker things. So a lot of people will start with water, move to broth. Some people like to like bring their own broth, so it actually tastes like something. The broth at the hospital is just like a bouillon cube of water. It's not great. And then typically by the next day, you can eat solids. And then I know.
You're still not eating that entire day?
Yeah. Well, okay. So there are a lot of hospital procedures that I would poke and prod at, and I'm not into it. I will say, though, this one is because they don't want you to vomit immediately after you've had major abdominal surgery. Because they're going through.
Makes sense.
Like, it's not my favorite, but they're going through like skin, fat, muscle,
right,
all the way down to your uterus, and then putting everything back. Your body has like trapped air inside, and so they want you to like have time to adjust, to pass gas, to like settle in before you're eating.
And then when can you expect to be able to just like walk to the bathroom? I mean, you just had intense surgery, so
usually that next day.
Okay.
So by the next day, they want you to be up and moving because it does help with recovery. You're also going to be told, though, like, not to do a lot of movement. So you can go to the bathroom, you can shower, but they're actually going to tell you for the first couple of weeks after a cesarean not to lift anything heavier than your baby and not to be, like, doing a lot of bending and squatting. So I always tell people, just very practically, don't expect to be the one that's lifting your baby's car seat at first.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that's very helpful to those of us who don't really know anything about C-sections and may even be walking into one. So because this episode is specifically for planned C-sections, what are some of the reasons that providers like may encourage women to have a planned C-section?
Yeah. So in my area, and of course it's kind of biased, you know, people who are hiring doulas typically want a lot of autonomy and say so over their birth. So there are just a few reasons why we're planning for a cesarean. A breech baby, there are not very many providers in the U.S. at this point that are trained and experienced to deliver a baby. And if you're listening to this episode and you don't know what breech means, babies typically come head first. If they're coming any other way, so if we've got a foot, a little baby bottom, then it is what I would call a variation of normal, but you want an OB or even a midwife to have experience with that. And if they don't, they're probably going to recommend a cesarean.
Yeah.
Sometimes there are medical conditions that make vaginal birth less safe. If someone is having an issue with their blood pressure or with sometimes there are like liver conditions or other things where like staying pregnant becomes dangerous, then typically what I see recommended is actually an induction of labor. But we know that if that doesn't go smoothly, that then a cesarean is very possible.
Yeah.
And then I have had clients who've had some kind of autoimmune issue or a heart issue where they're concerned that like actually having contractions will not be safe for the mom. That's another reason.
Wow.
Yeah. I mean, if you think about it, labor puts a lot of stress on your body. It does raise your blood pressure. It, you know, your heart's got to do a lot of work and be under stress. And so that can be a reason for a planned cesarean.
Okay.
And then if someone has very recently contracted herpes and is like having their initial outbreak, that can be dangerous to the baby. In many instances, taking medication is enough and you're clear and you can just have a baby. But if you have like an active outbreak, so got some sores, we don't want the baby to get that.
Right.
That could be a reason for a cesarean.
Okay. All right.
Most of that- the other ones are going to come up after you try vaginal birth first.
Okay. Yeah. And then it's more of an emergency for sure.
It is. I will say though, a lot of what I said about like being able to have that kind of family centered cesarean where it still feels like a birth. So your partner's in the room, you're still awake and present. You can even ask for like your music to be played. You can say affirmations to yourself. You can still do a lot of things, even if you're going through labor and say your baby's heart rate is dipping and they're like, okay, we have a conversation about it. We think that a cesarean would be best. You can still do a lot of those things.
Okay.
The main difference is that you don't know it's coming, which is why sometimes we have these conversations, even if the pregnancy has been really healthy.
Yeah. Okay, well, that was incredibly, incredibly helpful. Feeling overwhelmed with all of the things that you need for baby? Well, that's why I love finding items that have multiple uses. I'm team multiple use every time. Snuggle Shield is one item that fills the role of like 8 must-have items. It's a nursing cover, a car seat cover, a high chair cover, and more. I mean, what doesn't this thing do? Their patent-pending design has taken off. It's the only multi-use air filtering cover on the market. The cover is made from the highest quality of certified bamboo, making it soft,
breathable, and it has UV protection. With their filters being four layers of level 3 surgical mask material that's tested for breathability and bacterial filtration efficiency, this protects your baby from germs, viruses, bacteria, smoke, pollution, pollen, I mean, pet dander, like the list goes on and on. The Snuggle Shield is a must for travel, medical appointments, and leaving the hospital. It's designed by a mom, nurse, and lactation consultant for our own babies to empower parents to travel safely with their babies. Head to snuggleshield.com and use Learn to Mom for 25% off. That's not an affiliate link, but that does help show that you heard about it from the show, and it helps you get an incredible deal. Their link is in the episode show notes for your convenience.
Now, what are some of the cons to having a C-section that, like, many women have may not even thought about? Like, I didn't know that you weren't even able to eat that entire next day.
Yeah. So eating, I like to eat. I'll be honest. I'm a snacker. that's up there for me. I think, like, the hardest part of a cesarean is for a lot of people afterwards.
Yeah.
So, you know, the recovery from a cesarean, well, the recovery from vaginal birth, like it's some effort, right? You've got to take good care of yourself.
But it's also not, you didn't just have an intense surgery and then have to take care of a newborn. Like vaginal, it's still, even if you had an epidural, so you were on drugs, or if you were induced, so you were on heavy drugs, like, it was still the way that your body is designed to give birth. So it's easier recovery rather than like, oh my gosh, my baby just left through my stomach. And then it's women who have C-sections are just so freaking amazing. Like,
they really are. I mean, like, when anytime we're kind of disrupting physiologically how birth is expected to go. Yeah, there's extra recovery. So I mentioned
let's talk about that recovery. That was my next question for you. So you were talking about like these cons and how many of them have to do with recovery. So what can you expect recovery to look like if you had just had a C-section?
Yeah, so if you just had a C-section, I mentioned you're going to be told not to lift anything heavier than your baby. So that includes things like car seats. Mm-hmm. They're going to discourage you from driving for the first couple of weeks and from taking the stairs. Now, depending on where you are in the country, maybe these sorts of townhomes are common. But here, a lot of the new townhomes, it's like three levels. Yeah. And so you come in and immediately you're confronted by stairs. That's tough. So what I encourage people to do is to have like different stations for where they're going to feed their baby. Speaking of feeding your baby when it comes to recovery, and also this is like a con of a cesarean, a lot of times breastfeeding is different immediately after a C-section. So for a vaginal birth, what we expect is somewhere between day 2 to 4, your mature milk is going to come in.
Yeah.
And after a cesarean, your body's just been through a big shock. Right? So your resources are depleted and it can take, you know, up to day like 5, sometimes a little longer, but day 5 is typical before your mature milk comes in. So I don't tell people to panic. You will have colostrum. You can always bring the baby to the breast, but, and it just changes how that process goes.
Yeah.
That can be stressful. And then if you think about how we breastfeed, your baby is like right there, just waiting for their little hands and feet to like kick and, you know, potentially touch that scar. So we often recommend, if you're familiar with different breastfeeding holds, I'll try to describe this because we're on a podcast. Instead of holding the baby directly in front of you, we'll often recommend what we call the football hold. And so the baby would be on the side of your body, and it's less likely that with their reflexes, where, you know, as soon as you have a newborn baby, feet touch anything, they're going to kick. We encourage you to shift their body to the side of your body so that there's just, you know, less likelihood of pain there.
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah. I hadn't even thought about the milk. Because I guess in my mind, it's like, I was thinking kind of ignorantly of like, oh, your body doesn't really necessarily know that the baby like left your body because it didn't come out the natural pathways. But that was an ignorant statement of mine. Now hearing like, no, it's because there was just a severe shock to the body and it's under so much more stress. That makes so much more sense. Okay. Yes.
Yeah. Because once you, once your placenta leaves your body's prepared to breastfeed, right? Like that's what turns that switch. So it's still going to turn, but it's just a little bit different.
And I'm sure your cortisol levels are probably higher because your body's like, that was so stressful. Am I still in danger?
Absolutely. I mean, people, like, we know that the hormones are different because after, well, sometimes people do have like a shaky reaction after a vaginal birth, whole flood of hormones, but it's really normal to be like shaky and itchy in those immediate couple of hours after a cesarean. Sometimes that's from the anesthesia, but sometimes we think that's from like the hormones as well. So yeah, there's just a different hormone cocktail. Another thing that people should be on the lookout for, in part because of those hormones, is just the possibility that your baby blues might be a little bit more intense. That can also come from not just the fluctuation in hormones, but if your C-section wasn't planned, but was more urgent, like a change in your birth plan to that degree, it can be a lot to process.
Yeah. Especially if you have like some birth trauma with that. Yeah. Dang.
Yeah.
Well, I'm sorry that I'm just like firing all these questions at you. I feel like there needs to be space when this conversation can be so, can be, it needs to be like handled so delicately. So I feel like I'm not necessarily giving it like the space that it needs, but I just know that our time is limited. So I'm trying to like get through them as fast as possible. So another question that I have for you, Samantha, is just regarding that recovery, but what are some like tips that you have to, that women could have in place to have a better or like a faster recovery after a C-section procedure?
Yeah. So actually resting, which I mean, it's the only surgery where we tell you to rest and then we hand you a baby to take care of.
Yeah. The irony. So, good luck.
I fully recognize the irony even as I say it. But resting as much as is possible and reasonable, like, you know, only taking the stairs once a day. I tell people to like treat yourself like a queen. You sort of descend for the day and then you go up and that's it. Let other people carry things. Eat foods with lots of fiber because you want to make sure that like passing your bowels is really easy. Sorry if, you know, poop grosses people out, but it's much better not to have to strain. So eat, you know, lots of leafy vegetables, nuts, seeds, you know, fruit with the skin on, that kind of thing. And then drink a lot of water. If you need a stool softener, it is available to you. It's totally safe. But like making sure that your system keeps running, that can help. And then, oh, I almost forgot to tell people, and I think a lot of people don't know, if you're having a C-section, you will still have the postpartum bleeding. So that is something that you can watch to see how well you're recovering. If, you know, your bleeding is tapering off, then you're probably resting enough. Great. Good job. If you're, you know, gushing, then okay, let's dial it back quite a bit. Another thing that people like to do after 2 weeks, so when you have a C-section, typically you'll have an appointment at 2 weeks to check your scar and your recovery and all of that.
Oh, I didn't know this. Okay. So you don't just have your 6 week. You have a 2 week and then you have a 6 week.
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly. So the 2 week is really follow up after surgery is what they're thinking. And then after that's done, and some people like to do scar massage. There's research on that, that it helps bring back the sensation to the area and keeps it from being tender long term. Abdomen, and you want to be able to like use your body freely later on without always worrying. So some people will start scar massage, and that's a good tip. And then I always just tell people to give yourself time. If I'm telling you these guidelines to like take it easy for those first 2 weeks, especially, and then be gentle with yourself the first 6 weeks, and you're feeling better than that, cool. I love that.
Okay.
I would much rather you plan, though, for that full 6 weeks to be very gentle. You know, mm-hmm. it's a surgery, so we just have to respect that. Like, you just did a lot, so take it easy.
Yeah. When can you expect to feel like to not have the side effects of surgery, I guess? Like, I just think recovery from a C-section is so different than vaginal. And it's still, I mean, I was still bleeding and like recovering at, probably like 8 weeks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's not unusual. So everybody's a little bit different. Some people, if say they were very active and their pregnancy was easy and their surgery went smoothly, will recover, you know, and they'll kind of feel like themselves by like 2 to 3 weeks. I tell people to expect that first 6 weeks at least.
Okay.
For, you know, there to maybe still be some pain, to move very gently. I noticed that typically by what we call like the fourth trimester, almost everybody feels back to normal. If you don't feel back to normal by then, there won't be another doctor's appointment scheduled. Your midwife may schedule an appointment, but for most of them, that 6 weeks is like they expect things to feel good. If you don't feel good by then please go talk to a professional.
Okay. Well, that's kind of a question that I have for you, Samantha, is regarding like, what are the red flags to look for? You know, how much is too much bleeding for a C-section? What are some other signs that if something happens, oh shoot, we need to call the doctor. Like, we need to go to the ER.
Yeah. So your scar should never bleed. I want to say that out loud.
Okay.
Your scar should never bleed. It should like stay closed up, your incision. And if you see any like oozing or pus or anything that looks like an infection, it probably is an infection.
Mm.
If you have a fever of 100.4, so I'll say that so that you can picture it in your mind, 100.4, not 104, because that's way too high. If you have a fever of 100.4 or more, that's another sign of infection. We're concerned about that. If you're bleeding, your vaginal bleeding, and this is actually true always, if your vaginal bleeding is soaking a pad per hour, we're concerned about that. If you're seeing, I like to flag clots that are bigger than a golf ball. Some providers will say as big as a fist, but you know, I'm a doula, not a doctor, so I'm going to tell you to call the midwife or the doctor if it's approaching a golf ball, because that's a big clot. We want to make sure that, you know, you're safe there. If your pain is getting worse and not better, that's another reason to call. And then one of the side effects potentially of spinal anesthesia is what we call a spinal headache. So if you're having really most headaches after birth, I think it's worth calling the advice line at least, because sometimes they're a sign of blood pressure issues. But if you're having a headache where it's worse when you sit up or try to move around, sometimes that's because of a leak in spinal fluid. They can fix that fairly simply with what they call a blood patch. An anesthesiologist usually does it though. So definitely call if you're having severe headaches of any kind.
Okay. All right. That was incredibly helpful. I think I'm going to skip the misconceptions around C-section unless you think that that's like a really good question that needs to be talked about.
I think we can skip it. I feel like we're covering like, okay, this is, you know, why it's not easy. The only thing that I was going to talk about maybe there was that some people will say like a C-section is quote unquote not a real birth.
How
but
hurtful.
It is. I know.
That's not okay. It's also
awful.
Way harder than
like,
the
it's
normal
not true
one.
And it's awful.
Yeah. Yikes. And I want to make sure that people know, because this has been really, really great. How can people find you, Samantha?
Yeah, so people can find me at dcmetromaternity.com and also on socials at dcmetromaternity. We're on Instagram, we're on TikTok, we're on Facebook. I think that's everywhere we are. I have a podcast. It's called Musings of a Black Doula. And I also do have a research. I also do have a resource. I have a resource specifically around C-sections and C-section recovery. And I will be sure to share that with you so that you can send people there.
Awesome. Thank you so much. This has been really, really insightful and super eye-opening and just really helpful for women who have planned C-sections, and there's just not enough research out there for them to be like, okay, what all is going to happen and how can I expect? I had a friend who had a C-section who ended up, it was an emergency C-section, and she turned to me and was like, no one even posts stuff about recovery. Like, do you know how I can recover? Do you have any tips and tricks? And I was like, and it took some searching because there's just not a whole lot out there. So thank you so much.
You're so welcome. Also, speaking of recovery, another resource that's really great in addition to now this podcast episode is this organization called ICAM. It's the International Cesarean Awareness Network. So you can reach out to them, and a lot of them have like local chapters. So you can actually talk to other C-section moms so that you can, you know, have lots of resources and support.
I'm so glad that you shared that plug. I think that's really great, a really great resource for women who can feel so isolated having a C-section.
Yeah. So yeah, because a C-section is hard. It's it's hard. It's real birth. Like we've said, you know, you're doing so much work afterwards, and then you're taking care of a baby. Like you deserve all the support and all the kudos.
Yeah. Well, thank you again.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me.
Thanks so much for listening to another episode of the Learning to Mom podcast. Now, wherever you're listening to this podcast on, would you please leave me a review and let me know why you're enjoying listening in? This really helps me and keep me motivated. I'm a one-woman show, so your words mean so much to me. Plus, you may get featured on a future episode. I will talk to you next week.